Okay, so we're at that time of the year when we're moving through the state and asking about budgets.
Sure.
Usually those are approved by now. I know Kokomo isn't any different from that. But when we visited some of these other cities, they're always talking about the property tax caps that really hurt budget, having to make cuts, Terre Haute in a deficit this year. How were you able to absorb those hits and get through the budget?
We did, and we have for a few years. We've had some lean years, and going into 2016 will not be any different. But every year we've come in under budget. So we've underspent what's been budgeted each year about an average of 4 or 5% each year. And we've done that by a lot of, we look at each line item very critically. And most of what we've been able to do starts with my salary. Next year we froze the mayor's salary again, which will be 9 years in a row, and that's also 9 years for the city council members. And we've really, we think we've done a great job in streamlining city government and finding efficiencies everywhere we can. But we're working on right-sizing our roads program. We just in the last day or two started distributing totes for curbside recycling throughout the entire city. So that will be, the totes are being dropped off, and we're adding, what we think are important programs while we're still looking at the overall budget and being as efficient as possible.
I did want to ask about the recycling program, because that was a program that took a little while to kind of get going, but you're finally now, it's Monday, right? The totes
being started going out, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did we get to this point?
Well, it's taken a while. Kokomo has not had a curbside recycling program citywide ever. We've never had one. Back in the 90s, they had some targeted neighborhoods where they did some curbside programs. Back then they had to separate the materials, and then that went away probably the first part of this century. And so we've had drop-off centers that have been manned by the recycling district, not the city or the county. So we've been wanting to put a curbside program in for the last year or two. The issue has been finding a viable business to receive the materials. The problem has not been us being able to pick up the materials. It's now what do we do and where do we take them? So we now have a company that was in Peru, Indiana. They're going to relocate to Kokomo and move their facility here, and they're going to start taking the materials. So we've dropped off totes this week. We'll be picking them up. We're trying to do this while we're doing the leaf and limb pickup as well. So it'll probably be, I think the first ones will be picked up in about a month, and they'll be on a 2-week cycle. So every week you'll have your trash picked up. Every other week, a 96-gallon tote will pick up recycled materials.
I also see in recent news where we're seeing this overall within the state, but especially here in Kokomo, where the unemployment rate dropping to 4.1%.
Yes, we're very excited about that. Of course, you're exactly right. Over the last few years, nationwide and across the state, unemployment has been trending down. Our last report as of last week showed unemployment at 4.1%, the lowest that it's been since President Bill Clinton was in office. So we're very excited. For 15 years since it's been that low. And what we like to also track is the workforce has grown also. So it's not low unemployment because people have given up and left the area. Actually, people are in the area and moved to the city, and unemployment's still at that record low for 15 years. So we want to keep that momentum going.
Well, and you're also excited about two other big projects downtown. One, Apperson Way Apartments, and then the other is a residential care facility too? Yeah,
it's assisted living facility. And this, the assisted living facility, which by the way just went through city council last night, and was the rezoning was approved. And this is takes a blighted piece of property, to put it in kindest terms, has been underutilized, right on on Washington Street, which is a major thoroughfare running north-south through Howard County and through the center of Kokomo. So it cleans up a blighted piece of property. This is a $20 million, four-story assisted living facility that we're not doing much other than giving them a parcel of land that was donated to the city a couple of years ago. So this is a $20 million private investment, the largest public or private investment in the history of our city. And it's on a major thoroughfare right along the Wildcat Creek, about two blocks from Kokomo Municipal Stadium. So it encourages that redevelopment of existing use. The Apperson Way Apartments is about four blocks to the east and about five blocks north of Apperson from the creek area. And that, again, takes about nine parcels, six residential properties and three commercial properties that were they were blighted, and it removes those, which that's already taken place, and then a new almost $10 million housing project will go up there, and this will be tax credit family housing, so it will be on a sliding scale private investment sliding scale to help you know, people that are working but are making just a little bit less than the average wages here in Howard County. So we're very excited about that.
And one of these developments had to have rezone the area?
Yeah, the Vermilion property, it was a former lumber yard that had been closed for many years, the assisted living facility. So we had to go through the rezoning process. It's went through the plan commission and then again through the city council already.
What was the reason behind the rezoning, and why was that allowed, if that area was meant for something else?
Years ago, in fact, it was one of the first businesses in Kokomo. 75 years ago, it had been a lumber yard, and up until probably the late 80s, maybe early 90s, had been a commercial lumber yard. It closed. Most of the buildings were being used to store various items, some of which were probably not very valuable. And so we had to go through the rezoning to make it suitable, just to make sure it's suitable for residential use. And so we're just part of the process.
Okay. You just mentioned too, before we got started, you were talking about the baseball stadium, that the All-Star game is actually coming here as well.
Yes. A few weeks ago, Lafayette, which is only about 45, 50 miles from Kokomo, and they announced that they're adding a Prospect League team next year, so we'll now have Terre Haute and Lafayette both in our in the Prospect League, but they're adding a team. And then it was announced a couple weeks later that we're also going to host the All-Star, the Prospect League All-Star game next year at Kokomo Municipal Stadium. So we're very excited about that this is a chance again for us to showcase. It's a three-day event. They do this very similarly to the All-Star game. They have home run derby and different various activities and things. So we're very excited we get to showcase the stadium next summer.
And it seems like the stadium has been busy. I know the last few times I've been through, there were soccer lines on the field.
Yeah.
And I believe you've been using it for high school as well and other leagues. And I know at first, of course, there was some controversy when the stadium started. But now, maybe it's still too soon to say, but are some of the naysayers starting to kind of come through now on the stadium in your mind?
I think so. I think people realize, you have to go back again. Every time we have an opportunity for a substantial project, whether it's an assisted living facility, apartments, luxury apartments, tax credit housing, or even a new stadium, everything we try to do is redevelop. How do we take a blighted parcel and that is a liability to the community and turn it into an asset? And that's the really the biggest turnaround with the stadium. That area was a neighborhood that was had not seen any investment of any magnitude in 20 or 30 years. So it's being used for high school soccer. We actually had one of the sectionals hosted six teams from around the area for a sectional tournament, and we'll be using it quite a bit next year. So
I wanted to revisit a topic. It's been about a year since we've talked, and it came up at the State House with legislators hearing some testimony about tobacco-related issues, whether expand the state's smoking ban, and now there's e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
For some say, it's that compromise between a small business and people's health. Is this something that you think will come up again here in Kokomo?
Well, it came up last spring, and the council, it was a very, very narrow vote, five to four, voted not to. We have a smoking ban here, and it's basically any place that allows people under the age of 18 to go and enter cannot allow smoking. So that's most of your restaurants, including your franchise restaurants. We don't allow smoking. Basically, the exclusion now are over 21 bars. And so it wouldn't surprise me if it comes back up again. Of course, I would prefer that the state take this on as an issue for the entire state, because it does tend, even if it's temporarily, it does tend to divide communities. You know, sometimes pits one neighbor versus a neighbor, or a business owner versus another. So I wish we'd have that this would be tackled statewide, so each community doesn't have to go through these type of divisive issues. I'm not optimistic that they're going to do that at the state level. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, once we get through these elections, we'll see what the new council thinks, and would not be surprised if it doesn't come up, you know, when, you never know, next year.
Yeah. You know, there's been plenty of talk on infrastructure. I know we touched upon this last month, and the governor announcing $1 billion to I think that was a little bit more recently, though, about funding these needs. Is the state, though, doing enough to help communities address local issues?
The short answer, no. The you know, obviously, the $1 billion, some of it is through issuing bonds, long-term bonds, some short-term you know, shifts in priorities. I think it's a good investment in our infrastructure, but as next year's president for the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns and as mayor of Kokomo both, very disappointed that there was no allocation for counties or cities. Most people, when they drive on county roads and city roads more so than they spend the miles on highways. So I think it's very lopsided, and we're all disappointed that there was no money pushed in that direction. What we're trying to do locally, and if we're working on right-sizing our streets. We call it, you know, various terms: road diets, lane diets, right-sizing your streets, right-sizing roads. And we, our last four or five bigger projects in the city have included narrowing the driving lanes down to 10 and 10 and a half feet, putting some islands in, make sure we designated bike lanes, and really just what we call good pavement management practices. So we're working on that on our end, but it would be nice if there'd been a little allocation to cities and towns and counties through the state.
There's been some debate too. Is the infrastructure as bad as some say it is throughout the state?
I would say it's a problem nationally, to be honest. But yeah, it's a problem in this state. You know, we're expanding some roads while we're neglecting others. But you look at just, I can't remember the numbers with the bridges throughout the state of Indiana that are below, you know, that need a lot of upgrades. And some of them are in rural areas that maybe don't have the traffic volumes to warrant it, or they may believe that it's not necessary, but we do have a problem here in the state.
And you mentioned that you're now the president of the Indiana Cities and Towns. When talking with smaller communities as well, where is the struggle overall? Is there a common theme?
Yeah, I think, well, it's throughout the state.
Yeah.
You have to, just in the last 4 years, if you look at the census numbers from 2010 through 2014, which are the most updated numbers, about two-thirds of Indiana's counties have lost population, and only about a third have grown. And that growth is not, even though it's in a small group, that 30 counties, it's not been an equal growth. Some have grown much faster and at a much higher rate than others. So we are moving to the urbanized areas. You can think of Indianapolis, the donut areas. Kokomo has grown, Howard County's grown, but not at the rate of the donut counties around Indianapolis or in the areas around Fort Wayne and Vandenberg County. So it's going to get tough for a lot of these smaller communities. You know, there's going to be some challenges throughout the state in how they you know, market themselves, what they become, but there's going to be a lot of challenges locally for really pretty much every mid-sized city and every small city and small town.
And for those who don't know what the Indiana Cities and Towns.
Yes,
what?
The Indiana Association of Cities and Towns is the state chapter of the really of the National League of Cities. And so this is made up of mayors, city clerks, clerk treasurers, council members, town managers, town board members, and throughout the state. So just about every municipality of every size and shape belongs to this. I was at our last meeting, I was elected president, and Mayor Lloyd Winicky of Evansville was elected first vice president.
This is Halloween week. I assume trick-or-treat hours on Saturday this week?
They are.
Is that true?
That's true, yeah.
What time do you know what they are?
I believe they're 5 to 7, and I should know that.
We'll look that up,
okay.
Because they're different in every town. Do you have any tradition? Do you dress up? Do you do anything?
No, I don't dress up too often. My daughter, my youngest one's now 13, so she may do some things with her friends, but over the last few years, last year or two, she's not wanted to hang out with dad so much. It's more of hanging out with her friends. I will put a plug in on Friday, though. We're very excited. Kokomo football team went undefeated this year, 9-0, won the NCC, and they are favored in the sectionals this year. So we play at Muncie Central Friday night. And the Indiana University Kokomo women's volleyball team has won 17 matches in a row, and they are now 19-2 on the season. So we're very excited for Indiana University Kokomo also.
Yeah, I do notice on your Twitter feed that you do show up at sporting events.
I do.
Big fan of the local sports teams
well. Very excited. Everything that IU Kokomo has done in the last few years has only helped the city as a whole, offering new educational opportunities, but also now that they've put sports as part of their focus, and they get good crowds in downtown Kokomo at their gym. So we're excited.